Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Every Day. There's all kind of everyday stuff. And when you stop and think about it, you know, you don't go on vacation every day. But there are some things about life that are just very everyday. Now, while I'm on this, there's a thing I don't understand. Now, as a single guy, before I got married, I remember, you know, my first year in college, I didn't even have sheets. My mother found this out about it my second year of college. You know, I had a blanket. What do I need? I had a blanket as a baby. I need a blanket in college. I had a blanket and a pillow. I'd wrap up in that blanket on my mattress. You know what? I didn't have to wash any sheets. Now, that blanket got dirty. I will admit that. That blanket did get dirty. All this stuff. Then I'd got a bed, and I'd like try to sleep in it by myself. I'd peel it back, slide out, throw it back down. I had to make it up. Now, you got to make beds up. It's this everyday stuff that just keeps coming. You're loading and unloading dishwashers, folding. It's every day. And I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how famous you are. I heard Denzel Washington one day in an interview talking about this. And he said, you know, he makes all these movies. He goes home and his wife says, take out the trash. Now, there's another thing I want to talk about. It's all the time, every day. You know what it is, guys? It's just life. And there are so many people out there that live every day trying to escape every day. They're trying to escape reality. They want to get outside of every day. They want to get outside of these normal circles. And they escape maybe through drugs or alcohol or an affair or a trip. And I've always said this, the problem with taking a trip is you get there and you're still there. You took you with you and it was you were trying to escape. But we don't want everyday experiences. But you know what? This is where life happens. And the one-night stands are not every day. They're one day at a time. And it's the every day with somebody, the long haul, the process that makes the thing so sweet every day. And we think we hate every day, but it's really the thing we're after. Now, the Christian life happens every day. And we have to make the same decision every morning. It's either His day or my day. It's either His way or my way. And I'm either going to do this or I'm not. And there's not going to be a whole crowd of people around me cheering me on. I'm by myself. I'm driving. I'm working. I'm going. And I got to make a decision. Am I going to live every day for Him no matter what comes or just a few days along the way? Now, guys, I'm telling you, this is where all the fluff gets blown off and you make it a long-haul approach every day. And you don't worry. The Scripture clearly talks about not worrying about tomorrow and making all these plans. You can make them, but you say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this because you know what? I may not even be alive. Sufficient for today, Matthew says, are the evils thereof. There's enough trouble today. I'm going to work it today. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks here about the glory of God and about this thing in the Old Testament where Moses had this power, this life. He had been with God and this glory was all over him and it was obvious to everybody, but it started to fade. In the New Testament, it doesn't fade. You've got God living in you if you are a Christian. And what happens is the more you and I get out of the way and let that presence, let His power bleed through us and seep through us, people around you are going to see the glory of God, the power of God, something going on with you. You got something they don't have, and that's what makes it so attractive to them and why they ask questions sooner or later. But he says, because we have this going on inside of us, verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, and don't forget that word, ministry. And if you think for one second that I am a minister and therefore I am supposed to do all the ministry, you're not reading the same book I'm reading. And one of the parts of every day that is so painful to church people sometimes is they want to write a check and get a minister to do all the ministry so they can get away from the everyday stuff God left them here to do. You're it. My job scripturally is to do ministry, but a lot of my job is to help equip you to do the work of the ministry and to get your hands in the mud and to get involved in the lives of people. And it's painful stuff. It's not easy. Loving will cost you because you're going to have hard conversations about difficult topics and challenge people and encourage people and hang with them until they make it. And that doesn't happen in a day. It takes every day along the way being patient with people and encouraging them and knowing when to back off and encourage them and knowing when to back off. And it takes time. And it's not easy. It will cost you, but the blessings are amazing. But even that is going to take faith to look beyond what you see to what you're going to see down the road once we get home. All right, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. You know why he said that? Because we lose heart. You say, God, I can't take this anymore. I'm tired of waiting on you. I don't want it to take this much time. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. I am losing heart. Something's got to give. And that's where a community of people around you look at you and say, hey, are you okay? They know you're not okay. And they come alongside you and say, hey, we're going to make it. You're not by yourself. I've been there. I may be there again. I need you. You need me. Let's do this together. I'll pray for you. I'll be patient with you. Don't lose heart. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, now listen to this description. You want to know why somebody you love and care about doesn't get the God thing? This is why. You pray for them and you just talk to them. You're like you're banging your head against the wall. They just stare at you and don't get it. Why is that? Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They're blinded by the God of this world, by the God of this age. They're literally blind. They can't see it. Because if they open their eyes and believe, that light would flood them and then flood through them to other people. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And he tells them what the message is and then what their responsibility is. And this word bondservants is not a fun thing. It makes you a slave. It makes you a bond servant. You are committed. You're in. You're not getting out. And he says, we have one message, and it's about Jesus. There is nobody else to talk about. This is not about the power is within you. This is not about if you're just a better person, you'll have a better life. You won't have anything without Jesus, according to this book. Not here or in the hereafter. And you say, well, that's a little cut to the chase. You can't read it without being cut to the chase. Jesus Christ is the answer. You say, well, I don't believe that. You believe what you want to believe. I'm just reading out of the book. He says, we're not preaching ourselves. I'm not the answer. This church is not the answer, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Well, you're the preacher. You know what? You're the preacher too. You're the proclaimer. They know you. They want you. Only Jesus can be everywhere, and how he does it is through you. You say, well, I'm not interested in getting involved. I got a smorgasbord Christianity. You know what? And it probably feels just like that. You're not in. You feel like you're not in. You're just flaking along. Going to do it the rest of your life until you make a decision and say, you know what, God, enough's enough. I'm either going to be a one-day Christian or an everyday Christian. And you're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to have people calling your house. You're going to have problems to deal with and people to encourage. But I'm going to tell you what, it is the most rewarding thing on the planet when it works. You say, well, I'm not a people person. Well, Jesus is a people person. And if you got him in you, sooner or later, you're going to become a people person somewhere, somehow. Verse 5 again, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is a huge statement. The same God that where there was nothing but darkness said, let there be light, in the same way inside of you and inside of me says, let there be light. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we get it. I don't know how you get it. It's like at weddings to me sometimes. I stand there marrying somebody and I kind of think to myself, okay, when did it happen? They're standing there. There's vows. They say, I do this and I will this and all these things. And I think, where was the moment? Let's go, boom, right here. It happened right then. They got married. Because there's a moment in time when you become a Christian. I don't know. I've prayed with a lot of people. And there's a moment in time when they go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, literally from death to life. And it's an amazing thing. But it happens just like that. And someone who doesn't even believe there's a God, doesn't get it whatsoever, says, you know what? I think there's a God all of a sudden. And I believe this whole Jesus story is true. And I want him to come live in me and through me. I want my life to make a difference. And if I get hit, so be it. If I get attacked by the enemy, so be it. I can't live without him anymore. Let's do it. Verse 7. Now look at this description, because this is how I feel and I have felt this last week in particular. And I bet anybody in the room has too. He says, but here's the deal. But we have this treasure, this unbelievable glory, this God in us, this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots. Why would God put himself in a jar of clay, a clay pot, a piece of dirt? Now, this one's hard for me to understand. But see, you know yourself well enough to know that I'm just a piece of dirt. And the God of the universe has made a decision that he is going to put himself, not some treasure, he is the treasure. He says, I'm going to put myself inside you, a clay pot, and I'm going to get it done through you. I got no other plans, you're it. And so we haul this treasure around inside of us in these clay pots. And either let God haul us around and pour us out into the people around us or hide it. The rest of our lives. See, some of you got Jesus, just you won't let him out. God goes to grab the handle and pour you out on somebody. Say, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm not interested in being emptied. I am so full, I just want to stay this way. He didn't fill you to stay full, guys. He fills you to overflow to everything and everybody around you. And they start seeing and feeling and tasting that treasure that's inside of you. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. It's about God in you. That's your only hope of glory. And see, everybody out there knows that everybody out there is like everybody out there. We're all human. So we got all these people walking around made of dirt. And all of a sudden, you start spotting people going, you know what, that's not just a good guy. That's just not a nice lady. There's something going on in there. What is going on in there? And you find out there is power. There's something beyond them because they're living there every day like you are, but they're winning. It's not that they don't have problems. They got joy in the midst of the problems. It's not that they don't have loss and pain. They have hope in the midst of all that loss and pain. And you start watching them and going, I don't have what you got. What is going on inside of you that helps you hold on and survive when I'm ready to shoot myself, jump off some building? I can't take it anymore. Every day is killing me. And for you, every day comes and goes, and you have hope, you have peace, you have joy, you have these things that I don't have. Now listen to verse 8. This is written to Christians. And don't read about somebody here. Say, Father, show me how this applies to me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Somehow you get squeezed, you get hard pressed, people, circumstances, things in life pushing on you, squeezing you, and you think, God, I'm going to bust, I'm going to crater under this, I can't take it anymore. And he says, no, you can take it. You are hard pressed, but you're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. You know it's okay to be perplexed? You get in a situation, and you, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't get this. And you're going, and you're every day, and things happen, and you're at work, and something happens, and you think, God, I can't see what you see. What is going on here? And you're perplexed by it. But what? You're not in despair. I had a situation this week. Something happened, and I thought I had this all figured out. So I went to check on this thing, and it turns out that something had changed in my little plan. And I went in to check on getting something that we needed, and somebody else had already gotten what we needed. I went, oh my gosh, well now what are we going to do? I was a little perplexed. But then he said, you know what? This is not that big a deal. Why are you getting all worked up about this? Chill. Now I'm perplexed, But I'm not in despair. Why? Because it's going to be okay. All your worrying is not going to fix it. It may be perplexing. You may not be able to see it. It may not make sense right now. But you say, you know what, God, I have no reason to be in despair because ultimately you're in control and I'm going to be okay no matter what happens. Pressed on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You know, standing for the truth, you get persecuted. You take a stand and say, this is right, this is wrong, not in a belligerent, legalistic way. You just lay it out there. Somebody's going to say, you know what? You can't say that. I don't believe that. And you get persecuted. You're persecuted, but you're not forsaken. You're not by yourself. Look at this. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, he says, takes it to blows, where you literally feel like you've been knocked to the ground. You have been struck down, but what? Not destroyed. You're still alive. Now, how bad does it have to get before you realize this is every day? You say, well, I don't like every day. Then what are you going to do about it? You're going to check out? Some people do. But I'm going to tell you why every day is so great in driving people to God. Because everybody who lives every day has these crises. And they go along the way and they get hit with another day. And they say, I don't want to go back out there. I don't want any more pain. And God says, what are you going to do about it? I remember the day I learned to fly back in college. Took lessons from a man who weighed at least 425 pounds. And I'm not exaggerating. It was a little Cessna 150. This man would get in the plane, this little plane, and it would just go. I mean, the whole thing would rock. He was the best pilot you could find. Could fly helicopters, jets, anything. An unbelievable pilot. He got me in this plane, and we'd go out and fly and practice, and the day finally came where I'd solo. And he comes in, and we're doing some touch and goes. Obviously, he wants to make sure before he gets out of the plane that he thinks I can not only take it off but land it, which I would have felt a lot better about that myself. So we go around, and finally we come in for what I think is going to be the last landing before he gets out. We come in, from here to the ground, I'm probably about 20 feet off the ground in this plane. I'm nervous. I got the guy in there with me. I know he's about to get out, and I'm going to be by myself. And out of nowhere, I didn't know how this man did this, anything, but out of nowhere, I am focused, I am flying, I'm trying not to crash this little plane with this huge man in it with me. And I'm about to touch down on the runway, and he reaches his foot up under all the pedals and finds a cable that only he knows where it is. And he shoves his foot on the ground, and this all happened just like that, simultaneously. Shoves his foot on the ground, it causes the plane to drop out of the sky and bounce off the runway, and he screams simultaneously at me, looks over at me, and screams as loud as he can, "What are you gonna do now?" I mean, I didn't know how he did it. All I knew is that plane hit that runway, bounce. I got a man screaming at me, and there is crisis. And I'm thinking, if he doesn't know what I'm gonna do, and he's not doing anything about it, we are in trouble. I just said, okay, put it back to throttle, and I took off, went back around, landed it, and he said, all right, you're ready to go, and he got out. Now, what does that do to you? It prepares you for every day. You say, but I don't want problems. You know what? You're going to have problems. God's going to test you. He's going to try you. He's going to see if you're really in or not. That man had been a fool to let me take off in that plane. And when I took off, I thought he was. Because the second I left the ground, it hit me, I got to land this thing by myself. And so I went around quite a few times looking at the airport. Till I got up the courage to try to land it by myself. Struck down but not destroyed. You can get pretty close. Now let me give you a little bit of hope. I don't care how much hell's breaking loose. If you're breathing, there's hope. And if you're breathing and you can hear this, there's a reason for you to be alive. And it's more than just for you to be alive. God's got a plan and a purpose and a program for your life. And He wants to use you. And He is going to test you, and He's going to try to strengthen your faith. But the only way to do that is to put some weight on you every once in a while and see if you'll take it, and see if you'll trust Him, and see if you'll follow Him, and see if you'll obey Him, see if you'll do it. And you can, because He says you can. He's not going to ask you to do anything you can't do. And it's worth it.
persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. There is no resurrection power without death. You're going to experience death to experience resurrection. And all these preachers out there telling you, give your life to Jesus, you won't suffer, they're wrong. In this world, you will have tribulation. You follow Christ, you will suffer. But you're going to suffer either way. You do wrong, you're going to suffer. You might as well be suffering for doing the right thing. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. They just said simply, we believe something we're going to tell you. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now listen to the next three verses. Therefore, now look at this, guys. Underline it. If you don't write your Bible, underline it. Go back to it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. When the God thing starts working, your body can literally be falling apart, getting old and decrepit, but every day your physical body dies, your spiritual body lives. It grows, it gets better. Listen to verse 17. Now, he's talked about some heavy stuff in these verses, being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, all these things. He says, for our light affliction. Our light affliction. He says it's nothing. You know what it's nothing compared to? What Jesus endured. For our light affliction, which is what? Just for a day. Just for a moment. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's worth it. Now look at verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You're not home yet, guys. And the scripture says that eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It's not necessarily here, it's there. You say, well, I don't want to wait for there, I want it now. Therein lies some of your problem. One day at a time, and it's not going to be fun. Now, I'm not sure exactly who all this is hitting, but everybody's got to live every day. And some of you are on the verge of bolting. God's tough. You say, you know what? I don't want any more of this. I don't want to get involved in people's lives. I don't want to listen anymore. Because you know what? These people are screwed up. Not that I'm screwed up, of course, but they are. And I don't want to hear their pain anymore. You know what? I don't want to do this anymore. But where are you going to go? What are you going to go back to every day? And on a day like this, at a moment like this, in a place like this, in a time like this, some of you switch the tracks and you're either pulling over or going to stop, or you're going to keep going one day at a time and say, God, I didn't know it was all about this, but I signed up. I'm in. I'll be a servant. I'll let you do ministry in me and through me. Every day.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the pain, for the challenges, for the pressures, for all that you allow to come our way every day, and how that it drives us more and more to you, to depend on you, to know you, to love you, to let you love us. And we realize, Father, that without you, we are nothing. We can't do it. We absolutely cannot make it without you and without your power and your presence in our lives. And Father, there's pain, there's suffering either way, but it is much better to suffer for doing right than for doing wrong. We love you, God. We thank you so much for loving us. And for times like this, when we can regroup and go back out to life, the everyday aspects of it, Lord, where we need you so desperately. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you. richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.